Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the Right Thing. Happy New Year. How do you do
Happy
it?
Almost New Year.
Oh, I've been saying it enough. It's coming.
It is. It's almost here. It's been a really, really, really quick year. Although that might be because I've reached the age that, you know, where old people used to say, oh, when you get to be my age, time will just fly. It's creeping by now, but it will just fly. It kind of feels like that. So time is flying, and I guess I'm officially old.
Except that I would have said the same thing, except that I know people who were your age when other people said that to you, that are also experiencing the same thing. I think that actually wiring and screens has something to do with it, because every day is, there's just so much going on.
There's a lot going on, yes, we should say that. So this is a time of year that, in my business, in the news business, you hear a lot of people looking back on 2018 and looking at a lot of the things that made big news or the things that were newsworthy or that other people were fascinated with. And it feels like in previous years there were just a few things, and now there are all the things all the time. So these recaps of the year get longer and longer, which makes the year feel shorter and shorter again. So we get to New Year's Eve a couple of days from now, and people sort of think, well, we're just going to forget about this year. You know, look forward to next year. We're going to have like two quarts of vodka and just not think about it at all. Well, you'll think about it later that night or the next day when you don't feel so great. So my thing is to maybe think about moderation.
That sounds reasonable. It's also a good policy, you know, not just with 62 quarts of vodka or even two quarts of vodka. It's moderation in consumption, moderation in your interactions, moderation in your, emotional range. There's just a ton of places that moderation can be applied, possibly to the good, no?
Well, this is true, and New Year's Eve is not like Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day, say, when there's this whole compunction for people to be together because, you know, it's a family holiday. We have to be together. So people who don't have families or have fraught family situations feel badly because they're not doing it. People who don't want to do it feel kind of badly because, you know, we don't want to do it, but we're going to do it anyway because it's a family holiday. New Year's Eve isn't like that. New Year's Eve is, you know, go where you go, do what you do, and hope that you get home okay afterwards. And that's the part that I'm worried about, the getting home okay afterwards. I think it's probably gotten better since there have been this proliferation of ride services and also services, I think, like the police department and the fire department and transportation department of a lot of places are starting to say, we will take you home, no questions asked, just don't get in your car and drive. So it's great that they're starting to realize this would be a good way to avert something unfortunate happening if people can just get a ride with no judgment and hopefully not lose dinner in the back of your car or your squad car. But it's a good thing to think that if it's been a bad year, you don't have to drown it in alcohol. If it hasn't been a good year, you don't have to celebrate it by drowning it in alcohol. I mean, have alcohol if you want it, but maybe not in mass quantities.
Definitely. And is there anything, you know, different people, because people celebrate New Year's Eve, so celebrate the ringing in the New Year so differently. You know, some people go to other people's houses. Some people have big celebrate at a venue. I think that it is reasonable. Reasonably prudent to just make sure that you know how you're getting back from wherever it is.
Yeah, and or if you're, you know, if you're going with a bunch of people, for one of you to agree to be the designated driver. You know, it's not a horrible hardship, and you can always uncork a bottle of champagne after you dropped everybody off to say, you know, here's to ending the New Year safely. But that would be a good thing. I was interested to see that out here there are several cities in California that will have their buses going on their regular schedule on New Year's Eve evening into New Year's Day, and they're dropping people off for free because that's how much they don't want to have to see them spread across the highways or plowed into other people or cars. It's like, look, you know, we have lots of stopping points here. Walk to one of them or get a ride to one of them, and we'll do the rest of it. Don't worry about you. So this is uppermost on people's mind, a lot of people's mind, and I'm glad it is. And it's not, you know, a particularly cheerful way to end 2018, but I think if talking about it means that there will be more people to be able to see in 2019, it's a good thing.
And if you have, been in recovery, for example,
yeah.
I'm just throwing this out because, you know, it's particularly hard when everybody else is celebrating so assiduously.
And I think that if you're hosting, the responsible thing to do is to have lots of things that don't have alcohol in them that people can enjoy, you know, whether it's something that looks festive or whether it's just, you know, bubbly water with a lot of citrus and mint and stuff stuffed into it, that they don't feel left out. They feel like, you know, oh, I can do cheers with this and it's fine. You know, pour it in a champagne glass. Nobody's business that it isn't champagne, and it would be fine. If you're a business or a commercial venue, then make sure you don't run out, because even people who drink after a while are like, okay, now it's time for me to switch to soda water, and it should be there.
Right. And do people still drink ginger ale anymore? Anyone
yes.
ever drink ginger ale?
I had some last night. It was wonderful.
No, there's something quite, sorry to sound like an advert, but there's something quite refreshing. You know, you could have a little, it can be fizzy.
It can be fizzy. It can look like champagne
and
not be
exactly.
champagne.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So.
And if you are a drinker and you're next to somebody who isn't, and they've got a glass or they don't have a glass, you know, maybe don't turn around to them and say, "Oh, you need a glass. Why aren't you drinking?" Just, you know, what can I get you? Can I get you, you know, a glass of champagne? If they say no, can I get you ginger ale? Can I get you, you know, sparkling water? Something, and have them not feel bad about not keeping you company with alcohol.
Yeah, and you would think that people would be a bit better about, you know, a bit more adroit at this stage, or a bit more practiced. But in fact, one of the things that I noticed just recently is how how less than conscious certain people still seem to be about these matters.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on, have a drink. Don't be a prude. You know, just one. It won't kill you. Take a sip. Well, maybe it might. We don't know why they're not drinking. You know, maybe they have a medical condition. If you've had a liver transplant, one of the things that they ask you to do, they demand that you do as a condition of the transplant, is avoid alcohol, because they've gone to all this trouble to give you a new lease on life. They don't want it ruined by, you know, even a sip of something. And most people are grateful to have the opportunity for a second chance. And they do that. But I don't think they should have to explain, oh, I got a new liver 2 years ago and I haven't been able to drink. Number one, it's not that stranger's business. Number two, Maybe you're comfortable talking about it. Maybe you aren't. Number three, not drinking tonight should be sufficient. You know, or I don't drink should be sufficient. That should be the sign for the rest of us to go, oh, okay, I'm sorry. You want ginger ale? You want anything? If you don't, fine, no problem.
Yeah, and also, you don't necessarily need to encourage people to explain. And people shouldn't feel that they need to explain. And you've got a whole, it used to be called, I have no idea what it's called now, but it used to be called TMI. But there's a whole, almost everything is an opportunity to start a story. Then, you know, everyone would actually be better off just to say, okay, you know, moving on.
Well, plus, if you're the person who's encouraging somebody to drink when they've indicated they don't want to, and they turn to you and say, listen, I'm not going to drink. 5 years ago, I left a party like this when I'd had too much, and I killed a family of three on my way home. So, no drinking for me. What do you say to that? Don't put anybody in that position. Not the person who shares, whether they feel like it or not. Not the people around you. Not you. You know, they all have legitimate reasons for not drinking. Let them not.
Yeah. And as I think that there is a sort of a combination of being so involved with, you know, your one's screen life versus one's virtual life versus one's actual life. That it's very easy to not remember where you're at any given moment because you know devices are so ubiquitous and you tend to be, shall we say, more forthcoming in your virtual life. And there are places where that's just neither efficient nor appropriate in your actual life.
Yeah, not necessary. And, you know, and I think that lots of times when you find people being very insistent that you keep them company and don't be a killjoy and have something to drink, they're people who've already had quite enough to drink, you know, and that's part of why they're so insistent that they're buzzed and not really either picking up on the nuances that, yeah, thank you, not going to do that, or they're just blotto, in which case you feel no obligation. It's not necessary.
And there's one last hostess tip that I'd like to ask you about, and that is when you've got someone who's in no condition to do anything, least of all have anything more to drink, do you have any gracious advice for
you find out if somebody's going their way that can take them home, or you say, guess what, you're staying with us tonight, we've got plenty of blankets and a pillow and a nice cushy living room couch, all these people are going home, you're going to be on the couch and we'll give you lots of, I'm sorry, that's our notice for the 7:30 call that we're not getting because nobody's at work. We'll have lots of coffee and maybe some eggs if you can get them down. And we'll get you home if you can't get home, or we will, you know, see what you look like in the morning, but you can't leave today.
Right. And do you try to withhold if someone's just like fully hammered and they just want a little bit more? Do you recommend, I mean, other than curtailing their ability to depart, do you do you have any view on curtailing their ability to imbibe? Because
it's
that's so
hard.
Tough. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard because if it's, you know, your house and you've got like lots of bottles out on the, you know, on the buffet or something, then they're going to just go and help themselves. Maybe you can say, you sit there, I'm going to bring you your gin and tonic and have it be mostly tonic with just a whiff of gin. They're just going to knock it back anyway.
Yeah, but otherwise, but otherwise, your best action is in preventing departure rather than...
Either preventing departure or having someone who is, you know, sober, whether they're the official designated or whether they don't drink because they can't or won't, or whether tonight, you know, just wasn't the night that they felt like having anything. If somebody that you can determine is fine to drive offers to take them home, then sure, release them into the wild with that saint. But if nobody's, you know, maybe you live way out somewhere and nobody lives near you, or maybe you, you know, live in the exact opposite direction that everybody else does, then it's kind of, if you decided to get yourself schnockered, then you need to rely on the kindness of strangers to make sure you don't kill yourself or anybody else.
Thank you very much, Karen Gracie Bates. Do the right thing. Happy New Year.
Wishing you a happy, safe New Year and a great 2019.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.